From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk some football. LSU 58, Ole Miss 37 on Saturday night at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. We'll go through that a little bit. We will discuss Ole Miss basketball. They beat Western Michigan on Friday in technically the opening round of that NIT thing, but not really, doesn't matter. They play Seattle on Tuesday night. That is a 6:30 tip for that one. It is the first game that at least Blake Henson's supposed to be eligible. We don't know if he'll play or not, but I think he's supposed to be cleared by then, so we'll see on that. But
yeah,
anyway, I don't know. Just what crossed my mind. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Got an interesting tweet from a national writer that we want to talk about today. We have potentially some movement. We have progress in the athletic director search here at Ole Miss. We'll cover that and more coming up on a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Next door to it is the Oxford Crystal. Remember, it's your basketball ticket all season long. Is a coupon. Take it by the Oxford Crystal, and it's $150 off a steamer pack or a sack full there with the Oxford Crystal and the Oxford Exxon lunch specials, ribs, all that stuff. You know about that. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Excuse me, call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. The rest is kind of up to you. You get your quote. And you can shop it around if you'd like, of course, or you can do what I've done, what a lot of people have done, and that's get yourself into a Clark Ford product today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service. Corey wants to be a car guy. He wants to be a truck guy, and he will prove it to you. 662-257-1900.
All right, where do you want to start? What do you want to talk about today? Everybody had a good weekend. It's cold outside.
Feels good.
All that good stuff.
Feels good.
It does feel good today, actually. As much as I whine and complain and gripe about the weather, today's really not one of those days.
It was weird. Yesterday, it was kind of warm, middle of the day, and I was busy. I helped Campbell study.
Oh, you did do that, huh?
We did that for a couple hours.
This was government?
Yesterday. Government, yep.
Okay, what is government for a college freshman? What are we doing?
Well, this is a
200... Because, look, if you told me I had to go take a college class and do well in it, some sort of government would probably be my pick, honestly. If I couldn't pick, like, journalism or something, obviously. But
it's pretty interesting stuff.
Okay.
It's chapters 12 and 13. They're studying Congress and the presidency.
Well, that's up your alley.
Up my alley. That's why she was smart enough. I'll give her credit. She's like, my dad
is a dork when it comes to this stuff.
Can't really help me in many. Oh gosh, you've got the burner line open. Just FYI, you're not attached to Skype, maybe, so it might be okay.
I'm gonna kill that. Yeah, go ahead. I'll fix it.
we talked about, you know, the difference with Congress being bicameral. The difference between a unified, a unified Congress.
So to be honest, pretty basic Congress. To what a high school government class would be to some extent.
Yeah, just a little more detail. A lot of talk about gerrymandering. A lot of talk about pork barrel legislation.
Okay.
People are like, oh my God, make it stop. Unified government, divided government.
Okay.
A lot of stuff about the Electoral College.
Okay.
Stuff about Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, how that stuff works, standing committees, select committees, a lot of that stuff.
It's a lot of basic stuff. Not getting too deep into
just a anything. Big week, though. She's got multiple tests this week, and she's exhausted. And I think, frankly, kind of for the first time, looking forward to a little bit of a break, looking forward to getting home.
All right. So there was some AD interviews yesterday. Keith Carter was one of those. Here's the problem. To their credit, everybody has stayed very tight-lipped on this for the most part. Committee's not talking. Firm has paid a lot of money not to talk. I'm not shocked by that. if you're not well aware, we're not exactly at the top of Lynn Boyce's Christmas card list at this point.
I have it on good authority that not only that, we're not on the list.
Not on the list
we're
at all.
We're not on the list at all.
Even like, I might not even get like my alumni Christmas card that I typically do this year. You know how they'll send some stuff out occasionally. I'm not sure I'm going to get that card this year.
I'm no longer on the alumni list. I know that for an
absolute. You don't think so?
I know it for a fact.
Oh, you don't exist?
Mm-hmm. I tell people this and they don't believe me when I tell them. Had some pretty prominent people tell me that Ole Miss no longer claims me.
Well, one of them's a little less prominent than they were at one point.
That's true, but I think that has turned into a
permeated into a
that has become a literal thing.
Really,
I'm pretty positive.
Okay,
so this is okay. I don't care.
Okay,
whatever.
I mean, I don't think it's changing your day, but anyway. So here's the deal. We know at least potentially some names, and I say that not being flippant. I'm being 100% transparent. I can't prove them. I do not have them on perfect authority, but people talk a little bit, and it starts moving on through the grapevine, and they have been some names that have popped up.
I mean, we could play rumor on
names.
We could
play rumor mill a little bit. The athletic director at East Carolina is one that has been mentioned. He formerly was at Southern Miss. Gilbert, I think, is his last name.
Okay.
There, so he has some Mississippi ties, so
puts him in the list.
Got
a shot,
got a chance here.
The athletics director at Louisiana Tech, Tommy McClellan the second,
his name has popped up in several different things. Yeah. Thing with Gilbert, he's only been at ECU since 2018.
McClellan, when he was hired, was the youngest AD in FBS. He's been there for 6 years in Ruston. He has two sons, Lawson and Grayson, so he'd fit right in. I don't really think he's going to get the job, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me I had to get this one right, I would still pick Keith, but yes. We're just going through some other stuff.
McClellan has no ties to Mississippi at all. He graduated from Northwestern State in Natchitoches, and then he got a master's at North Carolina. So, yeah.
I wonder a little bit. I'm reading here from whatever the Reflector is called. We're just going to go all over the place today. So
yep.
Bear with us. Hang out. I'm reading a story from the Reflector from June where it says that Gilbert acknowledges that East Carolina is essentially in financial trouble, that they're having some whatever. So I'm wondering, obviously Ole Miss would be a job he would want over East Carolina any part of the day, but I wonder if he's just trying to get out because of some stuff going on there. I'm speculating 100%, but I am finding some of this stuff as I go through it a little bit.
East Carolina.
East Carolina's in trouble. Yeah.
Looking
to get out.
Looking to get out.
It is not radiating around the East Carolina campus that he is trying to leave. I know a guy, so we'll see. But
I know some people in Ruston. You can
try.
If McClellan turns into a deal, we can dig into it. Who are the other names we've heard? Let's see.
I've also been told that essentially Boyce, if he can't get what he considers a prominent sitting AD, that Keith is the absolute likely choice. So, again, we're not breaking news here. We're just sort of talking. But
oh, I just have so many opinions on this. And they don't come across the right way because they require a ton of context.
Well, we have an hour. You providing the context and the context getting shifted over to the second hand is the problem. However.
We heard Ren Baker's name, the University of North Texas AD.
Okay.
I'm looking him up right now. Noted fundraiser, blah, blah, blah. He's been at four different universities. He's played critical roles at University of Memphis and University of Missouri earlier in his tenure. He and his wife, Heather, is a Oklahoma native. They have two daughters, Addison and Reagan. The Reagan thing might make him really conservative, which could really help with Boyce. I mean, just putting things together.
Is that too close of a tie to freeze? He's got a kid named Reagan, too.
But spelled differently.
Oh, so that's fine then. Okay,
he spells his like the president.
Okay.
Let's see.
The actor.
Yeah. He appears to be an Oklahoma grad.
Okay.
I'm sorry, an Oklahoma native.
Okay.
Anyway, I think they're going to hire Keith. I think they've known they were going to hire Keith. I think Keith will do a good job. I think Keith...
Real quick, before we do that, I'm going to finish. How shocked would you be if it's not Keith? Where are you on the scale right now? Because I expect it to be Keith, but I'll be honest. I would pick him, but I've got just a little hesitation for whatever reason right here, and I don't know why.
Just based on a couple of conversations that I've had, I would not be shocked. Surprised.
I talk to a few people I always expect to say, yeah, it's going to be Keith, and they go, hey, I don't know. And I go, Not agenda related, not like whatever, just people who sincerely kind of don't think they'll... Now, look, they might be doing the same thing I did with boys for a freaking 2 months, going, hey, come on, at the end of the day... Okay, great. Yeah. You know.
Try not to say a name here because, no, screw it. Screw it. Not do it. No read between the lines. I'm going to do it. Everybody can get mad at me. I already got enough enemies. I can make one more. And it's not even making him an enemy. Everyone's hesitation is the following for me. Now, you might have something totally different. If you do, go for it.
We'll get through it. Yeah, sure.
Everybody says to me, well, I don't think it's going to be one of those kind of fait accompli searches because Mike Glenn's on the committee. Mike Glenn wouldn't sign off on that. Mike Glenn would not be part of a search that wasn't a real search.
Okay.
My response to that is, well, I get it. And he is an esteemed business person. He rose,
manages these type of things every day.
He rose to the very near the absolute top of FedEx. But he was part of a coaching search that was an absolute scam. Now, it worked, and Freeze did well at Ole Miss until the stuff happened. But Hugh Freeze was hired, and everybody can beat around the bush all you want. Hugh Freeze had that job in October.
They only interviewed him in Fedora, and Fedora knew going in he had no shot in the world.
Well, and Fedora was just playing it.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit of a favor. They didn't interview anybody else. There were people that they could have talked to and should have talked to and didn't talk to because they had already hired Hugh Freeze.
Mitch on the live chat, that is a crazy thing going on with Glenn and FedEx this morning. See that?
With the New York Times?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah,
throwing some blows.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that Freeze was or was not a good hire. Not doing that. I'm saying that it was predetermined, and then we played a game for a month. I appreciated it because we made some money.
But I mean, we put Dana up top.
I mean, we had some fun. But they didn't talk to a lot of people. And so if you're going to tell me that, oh, but in this case, they are going to talk to a lot of people. Okay, well, we've gone down this road a few times now.
Just trying to fix my camera.
I saw that.
Okay. It's fair. I don't know Mike. I don't at all. I mean, if you tell me to make some opinions, I know Archie a little bit. I don't know Mike. But yeah, history says that you are right. Here's the thing. My point is that I don't know that committee matters. It's even beyond what Mike would or would not do. It's even beyond what Jesse Mitchell would or would not do. I think those guys, very reputable people in the industry and people that are noteworthy to be on a committee of this type, no doubt. I have no problem with that. I just don't know that it matters. I think they're just hiring who they want to hire. And when I say they, I'm not talking about the search committee.
You're talking about Glenn Boyce.
Yeah, or
and
whatever.
Glenn Boyce's people.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? I feel like it's... look, we're right on the heels of this chancellor thing where that advisory committee wasted a lot of time. So maybe that's impacting this a little for me. I don't know. I just think it's a similar deal where I don't know how much these search committees ever matter at any school ever. It always feels like it's something for some cover. Maybe you get some opinions, some ideas that do move you in a direction or not. But I don't think they have the decision. That is an opinion.
Like another name that we've heard is Patrick Kraft, who's the AD at Temple.
Okay.
He's an Indiana guy.
Here's what's interesting.
I just, you know.
And we've talked about this a thousand times. If Matt Luke is hired a different way, or Matt Luke's not the coach and it's somebody else, or Dave Dorn, an alternate reality, and nobody has questions about that search, and if today's president or chancellor is Bobby Robbins or Michael Benson or somebody like that instead of Glenn Boyce, or even if Boyce had just run through the process and been hired and we all go, okay, well, he's the chancellor, all good. That is still, I mean, I'm not trying to get off subject because I got a point. It's still the damnedest part of this for me is had you just run him through, he would have started at zero. It would have been fine. You go, okay, not the best guy, but okay.
Of course.
Just so stupid. Anyway. Keith.
And he's proven to be completely over his head.
Of the three, Keith is by far the most qualified for the job if he gets it.
Yeah.
Of the three searches.
Yeah.
Keith is following a path that a lot of other ADs have followed. This is not some crazy, it's crazy because of the perception around the athletic department as a whole right now. In a vacuum, this is not crazy.
No.
Keith's done a pretty good job. Keith's very well liked as a face, as a communicator, and as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
The three things that the athletic director frankly does on a day-to-day level.
And he's conducted a coaching search that
he helped
hire
Kermit, and he made a decision on Mike, right, wrong, or indifferent. So he's shown you everything that you would want to see to this point. And he's also, I've seen this a lot on the board. I've gotten to know Keith fairly well. He's not a pushover at all.
Not at all.
He's not going to be beholden to all these different people. He's just not. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, even from his side, he probably, and he hadn't told me this, I'm just speculating. I think even he goes, hey, I kind of need to see what some of the leadership is for me to want the job. What's my career going to look like? So, no, I don't.
Because Keith's a young guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Keith could go, I mean, let's say hypothetically, okay, just for a minute. Let's use a couple of the examples that we just gave. That McClelland or the guy at North Texas took a job elsewhere. Keith would be in position to get one of those kind of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
100%. Yeah.
Learn on the fly, learn on the ground at a place that's not Ole Miss, that's not in the SEC, that's not doesn't have all the attachments that he would have to it. You know, he's qualified for those jobs. Keith's qualified for the Ole Miss job. Is it a big jump? Yeah, it's a jump. In an ideal world, would you hire somebody that has experience as an actual AD? I think so. But if I'm Keith, I have questions before I take this job. I have to sit down with, I'm trying not to be a jerk about this, Boyce or the people who handle Boyce, whoever's making the real decisions, I got to find that out first and foremost. And then I have to say, okay, well, let's talk about this football season coming up. Going to be a lot of angst. If it goes bad early, we got decisions to make. I mean, we all hope, if you're Keith talking, you say, we all hope that, you know, we start off 6-1 and nobody has to have a conversation.
Look, it's not the entire part of the interview process, but if I'm running the interview process for the AD, I mean, hey, here are the different football coach scenarios. What are you going to do? How are we doing this? What's the plan? That's a huge part of my interview if I'm doing the interview. Here's the next 12 months. I'm going to throw some hypotheticals at you and you tell me what you would do.
Yeah.
I need to know that.
Do I have the authority to do these things? Or are you going to make me the fall guy? Because I'm not willing to be the fall guy.
Well, and Doors Rule 28 makes a point because of what happened with Bjork and Vitter. Is it my decision? I run the department?
Right.
Period.
Because if the answer is
if I go, hey, here's what I want to do, and you go, well, no. Because if it screws up, it's on me.
Yes.
The chancellor's not getting fired because of a fellow football coach. The AD is.
Right. Not only, hey, if this goes badly, and do I have the authority to make a change? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a follow-up question. Do I have the authority to name the next person? And if the answer is, well, we'd have to form a committee, and we'd need to talk to Mike, and we'd want to talk to Archie, of course, and that's not picking on Mike or Archie, but if I'm Keith.
No, I don't think Archie actually wants to be involved.
I don't think Archie
I think he keeps doing favors because he's a nice dude.
Everybody keeps leaning on him because he's Archie.
Yeah.
But if I'm Keith Carter, I've got to say, yeah, I'm going to talk to a lot of people. Because look, let's be real. Whoever gets this job, whether it's Keith Carter or Tommy McClelland or the guy at Southern Miss or East Carolina or Temple or what was the other school that got mentioned we heard? I don't know, whatever.
North Texas.
North Texas. Whoever it is, They're going to get here, and I guess they'll have an introductory press conference, although I don't know who will be there. Day one, they've got to start thinking, okay, I've got to start thinking about a football search. Hope I don't have to do a football search, but I got to start thinking about a football search.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get this thing organized. Got to be ready. Got to be ready.
Well, I'll move on. I got another topic I want to make sure we hit. We get too down in the weeds. We'll do that in a second. First, talk about Tyson Drugs and GNM Pharmacy. Go get the flu shot now if you haven't done that. It's $0 copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line for an overworked pharmacist at a chain drugstore. Instead, stop by one of the locally owned pharmacies. They have multiple pharmacists available dedicated to getting you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs, or GNM right there off South Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community. It's located 8 miles south of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. SplinterCreekMS.com, 601-898-2772 to schedule a tour with your Tom Smith Land and Home agents today. You really ought to check it out next time you come up to Oxford. You think about moving to Oxford, think about retiring to Oxford. It's a place you should look at. SplinterCreekMS.com, 601-898-2772. Dead Soxie has expanded its collegiate line. Get in the action. Check out all of their newly listed color patterns. Regardless of their allegiance, those disowned relatives need Christmas gifts too. Go to deadsoxie.com, deadsoxy.com. Check out the new collegiate line. And as always, enjoy the Rebel Grove savings of 30% off with your promo code Rebel Grove. Dead Soxie, stay soxy. Don't forget, now's the time to get your Christmas shopping done early. Blue Delta Jeans is offering gift cards for their bespoke raw denim jeans for $100. This is a great way to treat your friends and family with a great Mississippi-made product for the holidays. Drop by the Oxford studio to purchase or get in touch with Blue Delta on their social media or at info@bluedeltajeans.com to have a gift card mailed to you anywhere in the world. We all did pretty well on picks this week.
Did we?
We did. You and I shared the lead for the weekly title.
So you've had 2 weeks in a row of hot picks.
Yeah. Two weeks in a row.
You're going to start a hotline for long.
I know. I'm actually, this is the latest that I've ever been in first place. I'm tied
really?
For first, yeah, with Jeffrey. You're 2 games back.
Okay.
Zach's 3 games back. We're all in this thing.
It's not over by any stretch of the imagination.
No. We're all above 500.
Hey.
I mean.
That is an accomplishment in and of itself, because this many people picking television, any media outlet at all, they're never all over 500.
No.
That is fairly impressive.
Jeffrey and I both 10 over 500. You're 6 10. Over 500. Yeah. Picks are sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. It's located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with the come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more, so avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, as well as custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, and any really outdoor living space that you would like to be built, paper patios, forestry mulching, and more. Go MasterCuts.com for a free quote, or that same free quote at 662-607-7773. That's GoMasterCuts.com. Yeah, did you count Jeffrey off for his picking against the Chargerettes that night?
Yeah.
He got an L.
He lost the game. They won. They covered.
You know, he's probably listening, so he can gripe at me later. It really should be an L just for the stupidity of not figuring out exactly what was going on there. Okay. You know what I mean?
I was 500 at the time. I wanted to make sure I gave myself a freebie.
You're going to get above 500 before we got into the picks.
Yeah. And that
routine. I mean, your picks are like the weird casino in Vegas Vacation, where they go and they do the coin flips and all that stuff. That's what Neil's picks is turning into. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
Nope.
You don't have any material for Thursday yet.
I got some.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
You got an idea where we're going?
Got a little idea.
I think I might have screwed that up the other day when I started, or gave you an idea when I was just talking and making a joke. And Neil goes, well, nope, actually, that's good. I was like, oh, crap. It's not good. So you pointed this out, Neil's. I think we're done with the AD thing for now. I don't, unless you got something else. You got a final thought, or you move on?
Oh, I will ask you this.
Sure.
What do you think the role of Archie Manning is in some of this stuff? Is it just as a consultant?
As it pertains to this search, that's all I can really comment. I don't know what Archie does day to day. No idea. I know this. I feel like if he was running everything and really trying to put a finger on everything, there'd be at least some people that would be fighting back toward that because everybody likes power and whatever.
Yeah.
Even though he is Archie. And you don't get that. Everybody's pretty, hey, back off.
Yeah.
As it pertains to this search, as it pertains to the Chancellor search, especially the Chancellor search, because that's what I can comment on because I spent way too much time on it. No, I don't think there was some major whatever. I mean, yeah, sure, he's going to answer questions. Yeah, he's got opinions, but I don't think we're pushing opinions onto people per se. I just don't. Per people who know him pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
people have asked in this chat room just today, and I've been asked this a bunch of times, what's Eli Manning's post NFL plans? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Everything I hear is that he and Peyton are interested in some sort of ownership.
Oh, really? Okay. So read the tweet. Ross Dellinger, it was in 10 Weekend Thoughts last night. It was up. Give it to us. Let's talk about it in a minute.
Let's get there.
Neil's going to pull it up.
My phone's been a little busy this morning. Here it is.
Okay.
It's from Ross Dellinger. Quote, "This year's Egg Bowl is gonna be stupendous. A throwback game, the way it should be, the way it's always been. One team with the sole purpose of keeping the other from some new version of the Independence Bowl. It's gonna be drunk, dirty, and awesome." I was kind of curious.
Ross, Mississippi native. I think he went to State. Okay. I think.
That he's, that was surprising to me because I've never gotten the impression that he like was a fan or anything.
Ross likes bourbon, crawfish, and Ross. And moves around for his wife. So that's what Ross does.
Writes a lot of LSU stuff because LSU is number one in the country right now.
He got an easy tie-in when he got a national gig that the school that he followed and did one hell of a job doing it became number one in the country. So he could just camp out in Baton Rouge a lot of the time.
I will say this. I think he's right. I think he is.
Okay, what do you mean?
I think he's right in that this is what the nation, the SEC, wants this game to be. The SEC wants this to be a late night, after your Thanksgiving dinner, kind of the cocktail that you'll drink once a year. Throw some funk in it. You've had your pie, you've had your glass of wine or whatever, and you're switching back to something, but you're like, you know what, I'm going to try that crazy drink that we drink on Thanksgiving. A little crazy, don't know how it's going to, might be a long night, but I'm gonna throw a little something in my, I'm going to mix a little cognac with my whiskey and throw a little something in here. And
let's see what happens.
Throw a little bitter in it, we'll see what happens. Be a little crazy. Wouldn't drink this on Tuesday night, but by God, I'll drink it tonight. Kind of hope for crazy. I don't think the SEC, I think the people around, and I'm not talking about media, I'm talking about people. I think they're comfortable with this being, 5-6 Mississippi State, 4-7 Ole Miss. They hate each other. Good chance of a fight. They fight every other year. They turned each other in. They got each other in trouble. That's the way the national people view it. They just get it, let them have their little fun on Thursday night. We'll all giggle at them. One of them might go to a bowl. One of them might not. Whatever. They're going to go to some little bowl. And he's right. It's the Independence Bowl or some version thereof.
They want to be entertained with an unimportant game on Thanksgiving night. Let's all live a little.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. There's a couple different ways to approach this. Got a lot of different segments that I think all get to the same place of what you're talking about. SEC fans like it because that's two fewer teams they're worried about from winning titles.
Yeah.
They need Ole Miss and State to suck. They need Arkansas to suck. They need Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt to suck. Yeah, at least.
Wait, let's say you're Auburn for a minute.
Yeah.
You're Auburn for a minute. And you say, okay, what's your path to being successful? Okay, well, I know I got my hands full with LSU, Alabama, and Georgia every year. Georgia's my permanent opponent. I'd love to trade Georgia for Vanderbilt, except for the whole rivalry thingy.
Yeah.
The part of their path to success is, hey, Ole Miss and Mississippi State got to be gimmies. If you tell an Auburn coach before the season you're dropping one to a Mississippi, uh-oh.
Oh, 2014-2015 made SEC schools very uncomfortable. Went, whoa, 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 now they're national powers too? We got a problem.
Yeah.
Because our fan base doesn't really care about that part. We just still have to beat them.
Yeah.
If we go 8-4, it's 8-4. It doesn't mean we lost to Ole Miss, State, LSU, and Alabama, who are all really good. That's irrelevant.
The people in the chat room are not getting what we're saying. They're like, oh, it's still, I'd rather watch it than the NFL. That's not the point. Nationally, people are going to watch the NFL. It's around the SEC where everybody's crazy about college football.
It's results. I don't care about watching the game. Yeah. Who gives a crap about watching the game?
The result, this is a cute little Thanksgiving night game. That's what it's back into. And maybe they'll brawl. Maybe they'll have a big fight.
Here's where, and I'm really stereotyping, and I get this doesn't fit to everybody. And again, we just said Ross is not a State guy. So I'm saying all that. Ole Miss has to make sure that that is not what they ever get comfortable with.
Yep.
I feel like in a lot of ways, State is very comfortable with that.
I agree.
State is fine with the 6-7 wins. Oh, as long as Ole Miss is beat down too, and let's make this a hell of a big deal on Thanksgiving night or on the Saturday if we're playing on Saturday. I think that is a lot of what we're talking about. It's another chapter of the book we've been talking about for years.
You just got to where I was trying to get to and couldn't figure out a route there. You just found it.
Yeah.
Your Siri worked better than mine.
Yeah. Well, because it's Alexa. But
that's why if I'm Ole Miss, I'm not comfortable with this. And if I'm Ole Miss, these next 11 days, I'm changing the messaging. I don't think they're capable of it. I think they fall into the trap every single year. I don't know Mississippi State. I'd love to have a Mississippi State person on and ask this question.
It feels like State drags them down and Ole Miss allows it. Yeah, that's what State, it feels like.
State wants this thing in the mud. They like this thing in the mud. State wants Ole Miss to want to beat
State. It would
State.
Benefit Ole Miss as an institution to consider it one of six. That's it.
Yes. State wants Ole Miss to want to beat State because they hate State.
Yes.
Not to want to beat Ole Miss because it's another notch to where they're trying to get.
Yeah.
State wants Ole Miss to think of State like a bitter rival, where when Ole Miss wins, even though they hate to see it, when Ole Miss celebrates that win in a way that it celebrates no other win.
Okay, justified.
Yes. Ooh, I love it. Oh, God, as much as it's going to kill me, I want to see on Friday morning Ole Miss send out the petty little tweet with the Egg Bowl in Oxford.
That's in my veins. Give that to me. I can use that.
I hate it.
Well, because it's justification. Yeah. When I do it next year, you guys did it.
So now we get to do it.
Yeah. And it's a self-fulfilling thing back and forth.
And Ole Miss can't figure this out. And I'm blown away. It blows me away that Ole Miss can't figure this out. You can be a bigger person. You get the opportunity. You literally get the opportunity in 11 days.
Win a game and stop.
Stop. Don't act like idiots on the field. Don't act like, oh, we just accomplished something. You didn't. If you beat Mississippi State, you just beat a 5-7 Mississippi State team that would have won, and I'm pulling up their schedule so we can talk about what exactly Mississippi State did this year. They beat Louisiana Lafayette. Turned out it was probably one of their best wins of the season.
Yeah.
They beat Southern Miss, who sucks. They lost to Kansas State. They beat a Kentucky team. Lost to Auburn. Lost to Tennessee. Lost to LSU. Lost to Texas A&M. They beat Arkansas along with everyone else. Arkansas is a 43.5-point underdog Saturday in an SEC game.
43.5?
43.5 points.
To a backup quarterback.
They, Mississippi State, lost to Alabama. They will beat Abilene Christian, and they would have, in this scenario, lost to an Ole Miss team that just went 5-7, and their accomplishment is that they backdoored into an APR bowl game. That's what Mississippi State's season would be. They would be waking up on Friday morning contemplating, do we fire the coach and go hire Billy Napier? Are we the ones that roll the dice on Lane Kiffin, and could we even get him to come? Are we the ones that roll the dice on Mike Norvell, and frankly, we'd have to shuffle some stuff. But when you celebrate that you beat that team, you take the bait. You have no idea the damage that you could do to their psyche by winning the game, walking off to shake hands, walk off the field, go into the locker room, change, get on the bus, and go leave. Home.
And check some APR numbers and see if you're still playing the next day.
Exactly. In the post game, hey, I noticed you guys didn't. Yeah, you know what? We're
focused on ourselves.
We're focused on ourselves. We're turning the page. This has been a long year. We knew this could be a long year. We're hoping that we get.
I really hope guys like whomever get to still play some football.
Yep, it would be.
Scotty Phillips needs another football game.
It's not the way that we'd want to get to a bowl game, but if we get one, yes, we'll take it. We're looking forward to next season. We know that next season is a big season, and we look forward to taking the next step. We've told you all year that we think we're close, and we plan next year to prove that we are there. That is the messaging. I don't think they're capable of it. I think if they win the game, Ole Miss wins the game, they'll act like crazy lunatics on the field. They'll run around and sprint to that table and grab.
Well, look,
the egg,
this is going
to
come off. Like this is going. Somebody says in chat, this is going to come off much. I don't mean it rude at all. It's going to come off as rude. It does mean too much to Matt and his family.
It does, absolutely.
I don't mean that rudely. No, I'm just, that is the situation.
It means too much. Your biggest win of the season for the second time in 3 years will be Mississippi State. Whoop-de-doo. Congrats.
I mean, because look, they didn't get a lot of play, but I was reading through some different stuff. I mean, OSU didn't touch the Magnolia Bowl trophy on Saturday night.
I think they forgot about it.
I don't think it was not a shot across the bow. I think they just forgot. Neither school has really picked that up, frankly. Ole Miss does it because they're supposed to do it. When they win it, they don't care either.
No.
I mean, that's a Big Ten trophy when they have 8 games that have trophies in a lot of ways.
But those Big Ten rivalries are different. I watch them.
Mm-hmm.
They're intense.
My point is you can't have 6. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't have 6 trophy games. I mean, good grief.
Eric says, are you still in favor of leaving the egg behind? Absolutely. I don't think people understand the type of psychological damage that would do to Mississippi State.
Look, I don't know.
It would force Mississippi State to do one of two things. Chill the F out and on this rivalry thing, or expose themselves to be radical idiots. One or the other.
I don't know how it's doable, and frankly, I don't know that Ole Miss would ever push to do this. George Rule has the point that frankly would fix it. Move it from the last game.
Yeah.
Make you have to play somebody else later.
Well, and that requires, but to do that, that requires you saying, hey, we're not going to treat this like the big rivalry anymore. We're not going to do it. And the next time that the networks go, hey, we want to move this to Thanksgiving night, say, nope. We don't want to play it on Thanksgiving night.
Play it on Saturday.
Well, if you're going to make us play the last game, we're going to play it on Saturday.
I mean, I don't know how to do it at all. And I get that they're trying to really push this A&M angle with LSU. You'd be much better off playing LSU the last week of the season.
Sure. If I'm Ole Miss, I say we'll play them.
Yeah. We'll play LSU.
Yeah.
Let A&M play Arkansas, and we'll play whomever, and y'all have at it.
Because truth is, it's a better rivalry. It's healthier.
It is a much healthier rivalry.
It's a healthier rivalry.
Both teams care the appropriate amount.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. It's fine. When Ole Miss is good, it's one of the better rivalries there is out there.
Well, the best example of that was when Ole Miss in Eli's last game. I covered it for Mobile. Yeah. Ole Miss did that deal on the Jumbotron where Johnny Vaught talked about, boy, they've broken our hearts a bunch.
Yeah.
What a great rivalry, blah, blah, blah. That was.
Well, we had the point with Moscona the other day. It was only 2014 that LSU stormed the field beating Ole Miss.
Yes.
The other way.
Yeah.
LSU will pick that up and let it be a rivalry if Ole Miss can be competitive enough to make it a rivalry.
Yeah, LSU would prefer Ole Miss be better.
They would. Honestly. They would like that game to be something. Yeah. They couldn't give two dams about the boot. They'd like the Ole Miss game to matter.
Well, Arkansas can't get good enough to matter.
Yeah. But even so, they don't care.
And LSU, Texas A&M's, the two programs hate each other right now, but I don't know that the fan bases do. The portion of the LSU fan base that lives in Texas does. But that's like that with everything. LSU's big rivalry right now is Alabama.
Circumstantial. I mean, but yeah.
But
sure. Yeah,
but it has been for a while now.
Because they're both good.
Yeah.
No, I don't play Arkansas the last week of the season. Do not justify that. No.
No, it's not a big enough deal. No. The two schools don't
really care.
There's no animosity there.
Frankly, they both nod about Houston Nutt right now.
Who are the only Ole Miss fans that hate Arkansas? The ones that grew up in Arkansas. That's it. The Ole Miss fan that grows up in Clinton doesn't hate Arkansas. I mean, the proof of that is when I tell people, hey, where's your daughter? She's at Arkansas. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Where's Caroline going to go? Well, she's looking at state. Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's a totally different reaction. So I'm but I'm right in saying this. I know I'm absolutely.
This is a backwards deal.
I'm whistling in the wind.
It's a backwards deal, but turn it into what goes on with Auburn. I think Auburn hates Georgia more than Alabama. They don't play at the last week of the year, though.
Right.
They play this is insane that I'm saying this. From a university institution standpoint, the Iron Bowl is more healthy than Auburn and Georgia.
Yes.
Institutionally.
Absolutely.
I get fan base, no, but
no,
institutionally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But they don't allow some of the craziness to happen. They don't do the trophy until basketball season.
Oh, that's right.
It stops the night from being
insane. I forgot
about
that. They make the ASB president things do the or whatever they're called, do the trophy. Is it called the commissioner's?
Sing the fight song or something. I don't know, something.
Well, it was the funny passive-aggressive thing because she wore the BCS pin. Remember, they had the pins because one of them wore the SC Championship pin and the other one wore the BCS pin or whatever it was
that
last time.
Was good. Everybody kind of got a kick out of it. That's my point. They can kind of laugh at each other. There's none of that in this. And the truth is, and Steve Robertson fights back on this because Steve Robertson fights back on anything that's sane. Mississippi State played a huge role in Ole Miss's NCAA investigation. Mississippi State, 5 years ago, when both programs were super healthy, 5 years ago, when both programs were nationally prominent, Mississippi State decided that they would do everything in their power to take Ole Miss down. Now, before Steve goes, oh, see, he's blaming it all. Nope, I'm not blaming it all. I blame the lion's share of it on Hugh Freeze. But Mississippi State absolutely conspired to help bring Ole Miss down. Leo Lewis was given immunity. Farad Green was given immunity, appears, or some form of immunity or something.
Yeah.
And they helped bring it down. And if you're Ole Miss, you've got to say, we're not going down this road again.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, here's reality. We've talked about this so many times. If Ole Miss, I ask Ole Miss people, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? I want to be a contender in the SEC. Fair enough. If you are ever going to get to that place, beating Mississippi State can be nothing more than, okay, did it again. You've got to view Mississippi State, frankly, the way Auburn views you. And I can tell you, having covered Auburn, that Auburn views the Mississippi schools as those are games we have to win. If we lose one of those games, we're not getting our goal that year. And if we ever got to a place where we lose those games routinely, we are screwed. And if you're Ole Miss, losing to Mississippi State half the time means you are not contending in the SEC.
We'll move on in 1 second with the conversation. Before we do that, Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're doing local underwriting. Understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float-down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Good time to talk to Jason. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They represent clients in more than 20 states. They've got advisors in multiple states as well. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. Pinnacle Trust is pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Mention that you heard about them on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fee. I will be taking questions. I've already put up a thread on Rebel Grove. I'll ask on Twitter later today as well for questions for the mailbag. Can't even imagine what those will be this week. It is brought to you by the Westin Jackson. That is a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. You can accrue or use your Marriott rewards points at the Westin Jackson. Be a cool place to spend a weekend, kind of chilling before the holidays or during the holidays with the Festival of Trees going on there. It's also home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson, and Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. So gather at Estelle tonight. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, an anniversary trip she'll never forget, you dreamed of playing at St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, whatever the case may be, talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So if you're thinking about going with the boys to Pebble Beach or taking her to Napa for the vacation of her dreams, call John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, let him give you some options, and know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
I'm going to get into some Ole Miss stuff in a second. I'm just kind of doing this in passing more than anything else. But the NFC playoff picture, we usually do the NFL more on Tuesday, and we will do it more tomorrow.
Okay.
But from a percentage of chance to make the playoffs, this thing is, even though it's kind of tight numbers-wise, the ESPN stuff says it's basically almost set. Like LA 6-4, they'll have an 18% chance of making the playoffs right now. They look terrible in beating the Bears last night. The Eagles at 41 are the only kind of team outside that kind of has a shot there because they're still kind of close to the Cowboys and whatnot. But here are the six teams and their playoff percentages that would be in as of today. The Cowboys at 71%, so three out of four times.
Yep.
Seahawks at 84.
Yep.
Vikings at 92.
Really?
92%.
Okay.
Packers at 95. 49ers at 95.8, and the Saints at 99.1% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, because the Saints are going in the north. I mean, the South.
They've got 3-game lead already in the division. Yeah. They play Carolina this week. They actually can get their magic number down to essentially 2 after this week.
See, I stole a game on you just on psychology.
I know.
Got it.
Well, because last week I don't know. Yeah. See, here's the problem I have. Is that every time I'm picking against them, they're winning now, and I picked them and they lost, and I'm done.
I'm stealing a game a week.
I'm done.
Yeah,
well, as long as they cover.
Yeah, and they covered last night.
Yeah, no, yesterday. That's my point.
Easily,
you don't steal a game if they don't cover.
No, and this week the line's huge because they play
Carolina.
Yeah, I've already set up picks for the week. It's a
and it's in New Orleans.
It's a 9.5-point line.
Oh, this is on our picks this week.
Oh yeah, of course.
You didn't put Baylor Oklahoma on our picks.
I know, I forgot.
Of all the games, missed Baylor Oklahoma.
What an amazing game that ended up being.
Yeah, we watched some of it, didn't we? I don't know. It kind of
We'd been watching the Ole Miss game, though, so we weren't aware of.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We weren't really aware of the drama that was involved.
Tua having surgery today in Houston.
Yeah.
That is the update there. We'll see.
Certainly hope.
Yeah, let me find this real quick for people that might be interested. Pro Football Doc gave kind of a timeline last night, or not a timeline, a checklist yesterday of what sort of has to happen for him to be okay. Let's see.
it appears while you're doing that, that their medical people did a fantastic job with
Lyle Kane and those guys. Yes.
In Starkville, they were able to reduce the injury there on site. I know. I don't like to think about it.
I showed some people what actually it meant to reduce that hip with dislocation. And from a pain standpoint, I can't imagine. I wince thinking about it, how bad that had to hurt.
Well, you know, they told him this is going to be the worst agony you're ever going to experience. Here we go.
And you have, I mean, we
have to do it or else you're not going to be able to walk again.
Yeah. Just bite a towel and we'll be done in a second.
And they did it. And so they gave him a chance. I'm curious to see what the doctor said.
Yeah, I'm looking forward here. Here it goes. Crap. Okay. I had a button accidentally. It's right here. All right, says surgery's not always bad. He's quote tweeting the Lyle Kane comment about we're going to send him to Houston. We're going to have surgery tomorrow. We've done all we can.
Okay.
He says surgery's not always bad news. Here's the medical challenges. Reduce hip dislocation ASAP. Checklist done. Good. Everything's fine.
Apparently they did that perfectly.
Yeah. Stabilize hip joint with surgery on Monday. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Then says the two things here and said this is really more prayer and just luck as anything else. Avoid a vascular necrosis, meaning dying thing, just because of the state of the injury. And then the other one that we won't know right away, but down the road, is arthritis.
Yeah.
So those are the things that, frankly, they do the surgery as perfectly as possible, and you just hope for the best at that point.
They feel good about the first one because of the fact
necrosis.
That, yeah.
Okay.
The first 6 hours are critical.
And they did a good job.
And apparently they did a really good job in the first hour.
Okay.
It's one of the reasons why.
So they did all they could.
It's one of the reasons why playing at an SEC school does have advantages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of the medical people that were there are elite medical
people. That's a good point. You're at a smaller school, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah.
You just are. It just
UT
is what
Martin
it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
just,
it's
bad. I mean, not making fun.
No, it is what it is.
It's resources.
So kudos to the Alabama people because they deserve a ton of credit for, I'm talking about their medical people, the people that make this a football thing. I lose my mind with them. Their medical people did apparently a fantastic job in a moment where I'm sure it was very emotional and nerve-wracking and all of those things. They did a great job. Yeah, Bo Jackson did not recover in 91. In large part because the medical people in Los Angeles that day did not realize that he had a fracture.
Really?
Yes. And he got the necrosis. They did not take care of him in the first 6 hours in the way that Tua was taken care of. And in fairness to the LA people in 91 or whatever.
It was 91.
We have come a long way.
Yeah. I mean, almost 30 years ago.
The second part, the arthritis part, is what I read about a little bit yesterday. You just don't know how much explosion and athleticism he will have after this surgery. No one really knows.
Yeah, he was in really good spirits. He had a lot of social media posts where he was talking and goofing around and things, wherever he was.
Well, he comes from a good family. You know.
He's probably going to be okay.
Maybe going to be okay. I mean, did he lose money? He absolutely lost money.
But, yeah, that's a story for another day.
You try to get it back down the road somewhere. It's a violent game, and it was a freak thing, and it's a shame.
This is the week no one plays anyone. This is the week of the bye games, unless you actually have a bye. Western Carolina, Alabama, so the Catamounts will be in Tuscaloosa against Mac Jones this week. Samford and Auburn. This week is
it's a slate.
Is what's his name still at Samford? What's the coach's name?
Pat Sullivan.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Is he gone?
I think
Liberty plays Virginia this week.
Oh, good.
So yeah, in-state rival.
Yeah, huge game.
Huge game.
Texas A&M at Georgia's the CBS games. 13.5 point line.
Yeah, I got a couple lines here. Penn State, Ohio State, 10. Oh, sorry, this thing jumped like crazy.
18.5.
It opened at 10.
Yeah.
10 to 18.5.
Yeah. Ohio State looks really good.
That kind of jump is the one of the few times Vegas went, oh, crap, screwed up. Uh-oh, move it now. Because everybody jumped on the Buckeyes at 10.
Yep. There's another Big Ten game interesting a little later in the day.
Okay.
Michigan, an 8.5-point favorite at Indiana. The Hoosiers acquitted themselves okay
at Penn
State.
They did. They played well against the Nittany Lions.
It's an interesting game.
Yeah, 13.5, as you said, for Georgia and A&M. That's in Athens. Georgia has clinched the SEC East. It will be LSU and Georgia in the SEC Championship game. Georgia controls its own destiny. Win out, you're in.
Absolutely.
Period. Done.
Georgia's lost to...
Is LSU only two wins away from getting in as well?
I think so.
Does the championship game matter to LSU?
I don't think so.
You think they're in at 12-0?
I think so.
Okay. So you think they've just got to beat Arkansas and A&M?
I think so.
Okay. I mean, Clay Travis was being stupid last night. You don't sit starters in the SEC championship game or anything like that. You've got to try to win it.
We want to win it. You don't want to risk it. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think they're ultimately in.
Yeah. Let's see. SMU Navy's not a bad game this week. Frankly, out of the American, Navy a 4-point favorite over the Mustangs.
Yeah, Navy, this week. Navy laid an egg.
Looked awful against Notre Dame on Saturday.
Texas a 4-point underdog at Baylor, 2:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, and as you said, LSU Arkansas. Oh, it's LSU, not Alabama, playing Arkansas. 43.5
When was the last time you saw an SEC line? 43.5 It's the biggest one I can remember. 43.5
Is it the biggest ever?
I don't know. I can't think of one bigger.
I mean,
I've seen some 30-something
lines.
Yeah,
we see a lot of 30s, honestly. Alabama.
But I can't
remember. In 2011, a couple got really big.
Yeah.
But I don't think they got that large.
Like Ole Miss was like a 38-point dog to LSU. Yeah. Or
well, because you got to realize that, you know, that Arkansas was the number three team in the country that year, so there's fewer chances to beat up on some of those teams that in theory would be around there. Tennessee, Missouri, a 5-point favorite over the Vols this weekend in Columbia.
Yeah, I've got it at 4, but yeah. I think they got the wrong team favored there.
Missouri does too. Their fan base was hilarious yesterday when that line got put out. It opened at 7 at one point.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that game?
Yes, I did, actually.
They were awful.
They have sucked. So, since beating Ole Miss, they have been awful.
There was a column written in the St. Louis, Ben Fredrickson, I think, wrote it, that they've actually become unlikable. It's not been a good look for Barry Odom.
Is he safe?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, because 6-6 is a massive failure.
6-6 is that nightmare for ADs, for rivals pubs. 6-6 is a nightmare. What do you do? Because 6-6, they go bowling to something.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
What are the bowl ties this year?
They already went to the Liberty Bowl because y'all went up for that.
Is it the same bowl ties as it's been?
I don't know, Neil. I haven't had to pay attention to that in a while. Do you have them?
I'm looking. I may have them here somewhere. Yeah, let's see.
Am I crazy for thinking the way that Saturday went? And obviously Oklahoma got that comeback. I think TCU is going to scare Oklahoma on Saturday.
Oh, I think that's
possible. I like the Horned Frogs to go into Norman and make that a game.
The SEC tie-ins this year are... The sugar, of course. The potentially the cap one.
Potentially the cap?
Yeah. Says SEC Big Ten / Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
ACC versus SEC / Big Ten / Notre Dame.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever.
Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, Music City Bowl, Gator Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Texas Bowl.
Yep.
Belt Bowl.
Yep.
Birmingham Bowl.
Yep.
And God forbid.
What is it?
The Walk-On's Independence Bowl game, which is the day after Christmas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whoa. That's on December 26th?
That's what I said.
Well, the good news is that if Ole Miss gets in at 5-7, I don't think it would be an SEC tie-in, right? Oh, the SEC has enough bowl-eligible teams, right?
Well,
Neil? Right?
I don't know, Chase.
Right?
Chase, I don't know. Let's look and see what we got here. Alabama's bowl eligible. That's one.
Yeah.
Auburn's 2. Florida's 3. Georgia's 4. Where's
the problem we have, though, is you probably have two playoff teams.
Yeah, so where's Kentucky in this bad boy?
Well, I don't know. Do you have records?
Let's see. Well, I don't have records in front of me.
Well, I'll pull it up. Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. I don't. Kentucky's probably bowl eligible. LSU, obviously, is bowl eligible. Ole Miss or Mississippi State probably going to be bowl eligible.
Okay, hold on a second. Just stop what you're doing.
Sure.
You're doing it a different way than I'd like for it to be done. So, hold on. Southeastern Conference. All right, the SEC East right now has two bowl-eligible teams. And the SEC West has four bowl-eligible teams. So we're at six before we start playing more games.
Yeah, and Kentucky's going to get there because they still play UT Martin.
So Kentucky's there. So that's seven.
Okay.
Tennessee's going to get there.
Yes.
They're going to beat Vanderbilt.
Yes.
That's eight.
Missouri has to win one more.
Yeah.
And they get Arkansas.
Yeah, that's nine. How many bowl tie-ins we got? Because State's not eligible if Ole Miss isn't eligible, so that's irrelevant. Carolina can't.
11. There's a potentially 11 tie-ins.
So, no. Because Ole Miss would be 10, and Carolina can't get there. They're already out. Yeah, that's it.
My guess is a 5-7 Ole Miss, and I'm guessing here. So people,
we're just guessing.
Totally guessing. I've given it no thought. And frankly, it's not worth doing a lot of digging until they beat Mississippi State. Because if they lose to Mississippi State, they're 4-8, and we're not having this conversation. We're having a totally different conversation.
Yeah, State goes to Shreveport.
My guess is that 5-7 Ole Miss either goes to Birmingham or Shreveport. Birmingham, by the way, is January the 2nd.
Okay.
Shreveport is December the 26th.
Against what tie-in?
SEC, ACC.
So they go play Boston College or somebody in the
exciting
Independence Bowl. You pumped up for that?
Mm-hmm. Be a quick little drive.
See, you're going down on like 21st, aren't you? You got a week of content?
I would go on the 26th.
Got a week of content? No, Neil. We went to New Orleans a week ahead of time.
I know.
That was in the same state.
Same state.
Bowl game in the same state.
Good point.
We went to Atlanta a week ahead of time.
If you'd like to go for a week, have right at it.
Be happy to give me a credential.
I mean, I'll send the email right now.
What do you think the hospitality room is like at the Independence Bowl compared to the Cotton Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and the Peach Bowl?
I guess would be somewhere around non-existent.
Somewhere around non-existent?
Yeah.
What's the media gift? You get a backpack, maybe?
Oh, I would...
A dial-up internet cable?
Maybe a pen?
A commemorative coin?
Yeah.
Something like that? An envelope opener?
And that game's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on ESPN.
That used to be the bowl game that David Brandt would cover all the time because they need help in Louisiana. And
David won't even be there now because he'll be out in Phoenix.
Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, he'll have two bowls.
There's two bowls?
First game and then they...
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, well, if you're in Oxford for your holiday instead of Shreveport, take advantage of visitoxfordms.com to see what all is going on in town this month and next week, which is December. It's a holiday getaway, including the Christmas parade, the holiday house tours, and more. Get everything from a concert with the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, the holiday ornament auction, and more happening this December. You got Holiday Village, the Elf Scavenger Hunt, and everything else for enchanting events that Oxford offers this holiday. Again, it's popupoxfordms.com or visitoxfordms.com.
And if you come up for that event and you think, I just have to live here, okay, well, you need a home, I would suggest calling Harry Alexander at that point. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. He knows Oxford, the residential and condo market here, better than anyone. He's also a big part of Savannah Square, which is probably an area that you'd like to look at. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. It's consists of multiple homes ranging in size from about 1,100 to about 2,400 square feet. The model home is available for you to look at, 215 William Street. So you just get in touch with Harry. Go to SavannahSquareOxford.com or give Harry a call or text at 662-801-5621. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want. all with a personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
It's not a bad idea. A Rebel Grove Christmas gift guide with sponsors and bourbon and stuff. It's kind of our version of Oprah's favorite things.
It's kind of a thought.
Congratulations to Blue Delta. They won the style section of for Garden and Gun for their 2000 and for 2019. I saw that. So I don't know.
That's cool.
I think we have some of those Genos on the way. So we'll
really
tell people. I think so. Yeah, I thought I understood that was the thing that had happened. Did you not get that idea? That's kind of what I thought.
I don't know.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, just saying. They're very soft. We did feel them the other day. Very soft.
Yeah. I don't know what Ed Orgeron said after the game. I don't think he said much.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
So that's...
I thought Ed's interview with whoever it was, Brett McMurphy or Tom Rinaldi or whoever, or some combination thereof, was pretty good. We talked about the Ole Miss time. That he learned a lot. Made mistakes. Made big mistakes. Learned from them. It's fair.
Sure. Yeah. That's what happened. I mean, it that's absolutely what happened.
He says, I tried to coach the entire team like I coached defensive linemen, and that didn't work.
I mentioned this on Hand Raise Guys on Saturday night. When I was at lunch on Saturday, I was sitting next to these older LSU ladies that were in town. They had come. They do one road trip a year. It was the first time they'd been in Oxford, and they're just sat down or talking or whatever. And that's what I did and told them or whatever. And they wanted O Story. So I grossed them out with putting the coffee grinds in his lip back in the day. Oof. Make sure he gets a little extra caffeine. At lunch was probably not the time to throw that one at them. So I miscalculated a little there. But nonetheless, yes, Ole Miss plays Seattle tomorrow night in basketball. I saw that on the live chat. 6:30, first tip for the Red Hawks and the Rebels on Tuesday night. Seattle and Ole Miss.
Seattle's the Red Hawks.
We looked this up. Remember, they're not the Pilots. That is the baseball team.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Red Hawks.
I know nothing about them. They have to be the Red Hawks.
You don't think they can be the Seahawks? Be confusing?
Yeah.
So far this season, Seattle has beaten Pacific Lutheran 98-64.
Man, that's tough.
The Washington State Cougars beat Seattle 85-54.
Okay.
Ugh. It's not going to be an RPI game for the Rebels coming up on Tuesday night. Eastern Washington beat Seattle 74-66.
Okay.
Seattle did beat Pacific Oregon 115-81.
Oh.
Scored 115 in that one. And the Syracuse Orange beat Seattle 89-67 on Saturday. That's probably
69-67.
Yeah, yes. That's probably more the speed.
So I'm covering a 25-35 point game.
You are.
Yeah.
Because Ole Miss beat Western Michigan by 20-whatever the other night, playing as poorly as humanly possible for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
they sucked early.
The key for Ole Miss Tuesday night is getting off to a fast start. This is two games in a row where they've played.
Kermit was so pissed to go to that 1-3-1 on the other night when he did. He was so mad.
Because they can't afford a bad start Saturday at Memphis.
Yeah.
You won't win. You won't win like that. They need to get out of the gate well, play well, and then get ready for what should be a really interesting game on Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, Ole Miss and Memphis at FedEx Forum is probably going to be a lot of fun.
I would assume a lot of Ole Miss people head up.
Oh, I would think so. I would certainly think so.
Kermit and Penny aren't necessarily chummy.
I think Kermit's probably like a lot of coaches. He'll say the nice things about Penny, but in reality, they want to get him.
I mean,
big opportunity for Ole Miss. I wrote that in 10 Thoughts. It's up on rebelgrove.com, by the way. It's part of the Rivals Network.
I'll read this from the message board. I guess it's true. If it's not, I apologize. Because, of course, everything on the message board is 100% fact. And I don't know. Sudu may have told the story on Talk of Champions. I don't know where he told it. I have not talked to Sudu. But there's a message board thread up. It says, Sudu told a funny story about Kermit and Penny crossing paths. Says, quote, I'm just reading the message board post again, all I got. Over the recruitment of Matthew Morrell, said about a year ago, both showed up to scout Morrell. Kermit was the first person there and was sitting down watching. Penny and Tony walked in. Tony Madlock, former Roman assistant, walked in and sat down beside Kermit with one chair in between them. Neither said a word to each other. Sudo asked someone to go ask Penny if he knew that was Kermit Davis. Penny said he didn't recognize him and shrugged it off and said if Kermit wants to talk, he could approach him.
Really?
Reading the message board post, guys. That's it. But
I anticipate dialed in Kermit on Saturday. Yeah.
State level dialed in on Saturday.
Real close. Like, there will be a – Kermit would probably tell you there is no difference. And I wouldn't argue with the man. But there will be a difference in intensity between Tuesday night and Saturday.
Well, of course.
It's the difference.
Well, your adrenaline's going. Tuesday night, Kermit's okay,
he's
going to
coach hard Tuesday night.
Yeah, but it's more coaching just, hey, guys, it's show coaching up, hard come
because,
on.
But it's more coaching hard because he coaches hard.
Yeah.
I don't think he goes to bed each night and thinks, that son of a bitch at Seattle.
Yeah, his thing Tuesday is, hey, guys, show up. Come on. Give me 40. Let's go.
Let's play.
Yeah. I know. Come on.
Saturday, they'd love to make a statement. They're going in full staff to see Kennedy Chandler on Thursday after what appeared to be a very successful official visit.
Yeah.
No, he's not committed. He's going to take a couple more visits. He's a 2021 kid. He's going to take his time. They'd love to land a kid like him in Memphis. What a message that would send. And to go play that game on Saturday, all the hype, DJ Jeffries, who was headed to Ole Miss, and then he wasn't.
It's going to be a day.
Love to get that one.
What's your early thought?
For some reason, I've always thought Ole Miss is going to win that game.
Do you really?
In large part because veteran guards against young guards early in the season.
Frankly, I mean, other than that trip to Oregon, the first time that some of those guys are going to have to see this type of thing. Devontae and Brian played a lot of basketball.
Chet says if Ole Miss beats Memphis, Calkins will write that it was only because Wiseman was out. So,
yeah, it was a W.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, I get it. You got to quit worrying about what people say and think. You want W's right now. You want W's. That's a W. It's a big W. It's a top 50 road W. It is a upper quartile or whatever the hell they were calling those.
Yeah.
Road win.
Net.
You put that puppy in your
NCAA evaluation tool.
Yes, sir. You put that puppy in your on your resume.
And it stays there.
And it stays there. Nice and smooth. You want to get some of those because this league is going to be interesting. Gonna be some tough nights in the league. Gonna be nights in the league when you're not ready and the other team is and you just get popped. Like, look around the league. Yeah, I know Florida's not playing the way people thought they would. I know Kentucky stumbled.
Alabama really kind of looks awful.
Auburn has looked pretty good. Arkansas has looked better than expected.
Tennessee's
been good. They've been pretty good. LSU's good. I know they stumbled at VCU, but trust me, LSU's good.
It's going to be all right.
The league's going to be a boogie bear.
Yeah. It's going to be fun Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Got a chance to get a quad one road win. You take those when you get them. All day. And they got a real shot at one.
Yeah.
And then they go to New York in a week.
Play Penn State and either Oklahoma State or Syracuse.
Yeah. Get you one up there too.
Yeah.
Preferably.
Just start putting some wins in your pocket.
Preferably put a couple in your pocket. Well, and then all of a sudden you're getting into league play where
Just show
500
up.
In the league, and you're safely in.
You're like probably a 7 seed or something.
And where you got a chance, I think this team has a chance to be a 4 or 5 seed in the SEC tournament.
Do you really?
I do.
You think they're a double bye contender?
I do. I absolutely do. I like what I see. They're going to get Henson back, assuming Blake's healthy and ready to go. At some point when they're got this going, I've seen progress.
I think it was good for them the other night. Because it gave some other guys opportunities because Buffen had a really off night on Friday night. And
yeah,
it allowed some others to kind of get in there and get some stuff done.
I've seen progress from Sammy Hunter in three games. I've seen progress from Hadeem C in three games.
As tentative. He was early on. It was kind of a struggle.
I thought Luis Rodriguez played really well the other night. Mm-hmm. He's fitting into his role. That's in three games. It's just November. This guy can coach, man. This guy's really good. I like what they're starting to get out of Bryce Williams a little bit. They got 13 minutes out of him the other night. I think that's probably what they want to do. And hey, dude, when you're in,
go.
Let it go. Don't hold anything back. Play. And he's starting to get that message early. And a lot of times, JUCO guys don't get that message until freaking March.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look up in March, they play well in the tournament. Someone goes, who's that guy? Yeah, he's been the dude that sucked for 4 months.
Yeah.
And Kermit gets stuff out of those guys. And, you know, we'll see. I still think Brian's going to have a big year. I think Devontae's in the process of having a really big year. I've always thought this was going to be his breakout year, and I think it is. And I just like their team. I do. I like their team. But that league's going to be something. And you're going to run into some teams like LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee, where you have just a little bit of an off night, and they get you. And
yeah.
You're going, oh, my God, how'd that happen? Because this league's 18 games, and it's hard to be dialed in 18 times.
Mm-hmm. More NFL tomorrow. I'm sure plenty more Ole Miss. A couple topics we thought about getting to today, but tomorrow we'll show up, hopefully, and we'll do them then. So to everybody, appreciate you on the live stream, obviously up in the podcast world as well, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.